T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
4 hours. We'll take you up until 2 o'clock today. Phone number to be a part of the show, 404-741-0929. That is also our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. You guys can hit me up on Twitter at Nick Kale, K-A-Y-A-L. All of our guests, courtesy of the WadeFord.com hotline, Atlanta's Ford dealer, including Justin Toscano, Braves beat writer from the AJC. He's coming up in just under 20 minutes. And then in the final hour of today's show, Todd Lewis from the Golf Channel at 1:20, live from the PGA Championship, as Tiger Woods had to WD yesterday. That means withdraw, because he shot a 79 and he could barely walk. We'll get to that coming up later in the show as well. Garrett Chapman, the chairman of the board. Garrett, good morning. How you doing, buddy?
Good morning, good morning. It's a fantastic day, man. Ready for some golf, man. I'm actually really excited for this.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, it should be a good finish, man. I mean, I was kind of disappointed to see what Tiger Woods did.
Yeah.
He pulled out. I mean, yesterday's performance was tough to watch. I was here in studio, so I was able to follow most of it throughout his his 18. I was here. So yeah. I was able to follow it, and it was just – he just looked – old and hurt, and it just it was
laboring.
Yeah, it was tough to watch.
It was. We'll get into Tiger Woods and really what he has left at this point in his career, which I think is about 4 majors, and if he can make cuts and finish all 4 days, that's an accomplishment. I'm not sure that he is physically capable of winning again, unless he builds up more and more strength in that leg and he's just not at the percentage that he needs to be, because maybe he came back a little prematurely. But let's start with the Braves, and we're going to go heavy on the Braves here in the first 40 minutes of the show. Last night, Braves get a win 4-3 over the Marlins. Contreras continues to rake. The Braves have now won 2 in a row and 3 of their last 4, and to me, this needs to be, and I get it, we're still 8 days away from Memorial Day, and the season didn't start until April 7th instead of, you know, the end of March like it typically would. But this has to be the Braves get right moment heading into Memorial Day. You can't ask for a better stretch of opportunities than this team is going to get over the next 2.5 weeks. Now, I jotted these records down. This was yesterday prior to any baseball activity getting going on a Saturday. You're in the middle of a series with the Marlins, who going into yesterday entered 17-21. You've got the Phillies coming up, who are 18-21. Then you get another series with the Marlins. We just alluded to their record. The Diamondbacks coming up are 20-21. The Colorado Rockies are 18-19. And the miserable, godforsaken Oakland Athletics are 17-24. Your next 6 opponents over the next 2.5 weeks up until like the first week of June, middle of June almost, are a combined 16 games below 500. I mean, it is pretty simple. And I'm not hitting the panic button, or I'm not sounding the alarm or saying, hey, if we don't do something, blah, 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 we got to start making trades and blowing things up. But if you don't get right now, when will you? Because the schedule's never going to get any easier than it is right now. You're playing bottom-feeding teams like the Marlins, the Diamondbacks, the Rockies, the A's, a bunch of innocuous teams that typically don't really compete that well. Phillies are slightly right around where we are, but this is a stretch where you got to get right, and you got to get above 500. Like, the time is now. You know, we're 6 weeks into this baseball season, and there are so many guys on this team that I feel like need to get going. Let me give you my Braves get-going list right now. In the lineup right now with the bats, Matt Olson, batting .248. Not good enough. Marcell Ozuna is hitting .224. He can be much better than that. Austin Riley, .230. We were talking possible MVP candidate this year. Ozzie Albies, a mere .239. Adam Duvall, a dismal .203. And Dansby Swanson is hitting .228. You can't have six everyday hitters in your lineup batting well below .250 and expect to be a winning team. It's actually amazing, if you think about it, that the Braves are what they are record-wise, just a tick or two below .500, considering the only guy in your everyday lineup that is hitting above .250 is the guy that's coming off of an injury, off of surgery, and has been in and out of the lineup in the first 6 weeks. And that's Ronald Acuna, who's hitting .283. Those are the guys that need to get going right now. And then, of course, you got the guys in the rotation or the bullpen, a bunch of guys that last names begin with M, Charlie Morton, pitching to a .495, Colin McHugh hitting or pitching to a .420 out of the bullpen. And I know Matzik is hurt, but his ERA is over 5. So my Braves get-going list right now is Matt Olson, Marcell Ozuna, Austin Riley, Ozzie Albies, Adam Duvall, Dansby Swanson in the lineup. And then as far as pitchers, Morton, McHugh, Matzik, when everybody's healthy and available. But this feels like it has to be the get-right moment. Marlins, Phillies, Marlins, D-backs, Rockies, A's. Time to flip the switch, Braves. And, I'm enjoying the last couple of nights, 2 in a row, 3 of the last 4. But let's string it together. Let's get that elusive 3-game win streak that we haven't been able to have. Let's sweep a god-awful Miami team. String together 4 out of 5, 7 out of 10, 8 out of 10. It's time to get going. It's not 2021 anymore. You know, world championship be damned, that was yesteryear. It's the Nick Kale Show here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. Let's hear from Kyle Wright talking about how he was able to get through and put together a decent start.
Yeah, honestly, it's weird. I almost felt like too good. At times I just got in a rush, especially early on. I just was really eager to get down the mound and make a pitch. So I think after, I guess really the first inning, I was able to kind of settle down a little bit. Like Cranny kind of pointed out first that I was just going a little too quick just to, stay back just a hair. And I feel like from that point on, I was kind of able to make some pitches. Thought they did a pretty good job, too, early in the first inning of taking the sinker in. Last time I faced them, they were going at it. So just tried to adjust a little bit and started using the sinker away a little bit more and get them in a little bit more of a swing mode. And, then I was able to not walk as many guys. And then we obviously played some great defense. I mean, that, I guess it was the fourth inning alone, was starting with Dansby, the great play, and then the rundown and kind of circus-like double play there. So, but yeah, it was, not great, but, put up zeros, and that's the goal.
That audio courtesy of Bally Sports. Kyle Wright last night, 5 innings, scattered 2 hits, gave up no runs, 3 walks, 6 strikeouts. The Braves beat the Marlins 4-3. They will go for the sweep today. Ian Anderson on the hill. All right, so obviously a big day of sports. We'll talk with Justin Toscano of the AJC. We'll talk some Braves with him coming up in about 10 minutes. PGA Championship today, final round. As a hardcore golf fan, not just into majors, but into the sport weekly in general, I'm on the opposite end of the spectrum of Garrett Chapman today, and I don't need to have the big stars to enjoy it. I bet on golf. I play fantasy golf. I'm a golf loser, but I've got no interest in Mito Pereira winning the PGA Championship. Nor do I have any interest in Matthew Fitzpatrick or Will Zalatoris, who are 3 back. Bubba Watson would be a great story. He's 7 back. Justin Thomas would be another good story, a big star power, a big name. He's 7 back. But obviously, Tiger Woods withdrawing, Rory McIlroy crumbling after his opening round 65 on Thursday. He has done nothing since on Friday or Saturday, and I think that has sucked the life out of what is really my second favorite major of the year behind the Masters. But, like, the thing with Tiger Woods, and if you look at his scores from the Masters last month and the PGA this weekend. His numbers, you know, are pretty bad, except for round two on Friday, 2 days ago. I mean, it's like one of these things where he's trying, he gets off to a solid start, and then the attrition kicks in with the leg, which we know he was close to losing with that car accident, could have been amputated. Not to mention, you figure the leg's not weak, and he's already working with a fused spine, so the back can't be feeling good. And he goes out yesterday and shoots a 9 over 79 to go to plus 12 for the tournament. And he withdraws, which I don't blame him, because he is so far back. I mean, he's basically 21 shots back, and even Tiger Woods in his prime isn't coming from 21 shots back. But I think the reality is this. I think moving forward, what you're going to see out of Tiger Woods is he's going to try to play the four majors. And I think that's basically it. Maybe he'll play one other big-time event that's not a major that he's had success at, that is not too hilly, that he can walk. When he's walking down the hills, it seems to bother his leg more than up the hill. But he's laboring. I mean, he's sweating profusely. He's probably taking painkillers throughout the round. And, you know, he is so wired in a different fashion that it's like, you know, most normal human beings with those skins on the wall would have nothing left to accomplish or nothing left to prove, yet he still believes deep down in his soul and in his mind he can compete with these 24 and 27-year-olds that are top 10 players in the world. And he's coming up, you know, closing in on 50 years old and still truly believes that I can go out there and whip these young punks. And maybe if the leg truly gets back to a point where he's not laboring and dragging the leg around with him, he probably can compete. And he probably still can win a tournament. I don't know if he can win a major at this point anymore, but he is tied for the most wins in PGA Tour history, I believe, with 82. So, you know, he just wants that one more to get to 83. He's not going to catch Jack with majors. He's got 15. Jack's got 18. That's not going to happen. But it's just scary to think of, you know, what Tiger Woods could have accomplished without all the injuries and the issues and the detours along the way. I mean, he'd probably have north of 90 wins, and he'd probably be right there with Jack with 18 majors, if not eclipsing that. So pretty wild, but Tiger Woods withdraws, and I think it's a less than interesting day at the PGA Championship. But that's why they play, so you never know what will happen. Todd Lewis from the Golf Channel coming up in the final hour. We'll come back, continue the Braves conversation. Justin Toscano, Braves beat writer for the AJC. He'll stop by next here on the Nick Kale Show. Good to have you guys in here on a Sunday. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Driven deep right field, Contreras. That one's got a chance. He's got another homer. Same spot. And look at Williams celebrate as he makes his way around the bases.
Jim Carrey, the call on Bally Sports. William Contreras going deep as the Braves get it done again. They beat the Marlins 4-3. Put that on the board now. Two in a row for the Bravos. Three of the last four. And this seems like a stretch where they absolutely need to seize the moment and get above 500. Garrett Chapman posting the question on Twitter in regards to whether or not this is their get-right moment. 27 games against sub-500 competition. This feels like the spot where the Braves could get their whole season truly jump-started. Now, the counter to that is, and yeah, they're a really talented team. They're the defending world champions. But the pessimistic Brave fan will say, well, okay, that's great, but you know, we're a sub-500 team as well. And that's exactly what they are at this very moment and time. Welcome back in, Nick Cale Show, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app as we hang out till 2 o'clock today. We'll talk to Justin Toscano, Braves beat writer from the AJC, coming up here in just a moment. Some other big stuff today in addition to more baseball, the Braves, the PGA Championship, NBA playoffs roll on. Interesting one last night in the East as the Miami Heat go on the road as 6-point underdogs, beat the Celtics, take a 2-1 series lead, and do so with Jimmy Butler going down with an injury and being out for a good portion, if not all, of the second half. Bam Adebayo with 31 points for the Heat. And then today, Golden State, which I thought maybe they were going to drop game two a few nights ago. They go up 2-0 on Dallas, and they roll into Dallas today to take a 3-0 series lead, I think, hopefully, against the Mavericks. And, yeah, Luka Doncic. What's up, bro? You good? Oh, but Luka doesn't have a great supporting cast. Oh, the guys around Luka Doncic, he carries that team. Well, that's kind of what Trae Young does, right? Doesn't Trae Young kind of carry the Hawks? You know, with all due respect to John Collins and Bogey and Hunter and all those guys. Doesn't Trae Young kind of carry the Atlanta Hawks? Didn't Trae Young get the Hawks to the Eastern Conference Finals Game 6 last year? Well, Luka Doncic this year is in the Western Conference Finals, and he still got a 0 up on the board. My man's down 2-0. Don't get swept, Luka. You're better than Trae Young, right? 30, 10, and 10. 6'7 point guard. He's got size. I'm talking to all you Luka lovers out there. What's up? Y'all kind of quiet lately. You good? Just checking. 404-741-0929, the number. Also coming up later in the show, we will get into the Nick Saban, Jimbo Fisher, Deion Sanders, NIL fiasco, and a lot of good, I got some good Falcon stuff I got to get to. I really want to put the spotlight on AJ Terrell a little later in the show today. And then we're also going to get into a little bit of Hawks conversation because I got an interesting email from a listener of the station who reached out in regards to Trae Young, making an interesting comparison, one that I think is wrong, I disagree with, but we'll get to that a little bit later in the show as well. All right, so a couple of things that I do want to hit on here before we get Justin on the show. Garrett, do we have Justin, by the way? I can't see my chat. Oh, we do have him. Okay. So let's go out to the WadeFord.com hotline, Atlanta's Ford dealer, and we welcome in Justin Toscano, a Braves beat writer for the AJC. Justin, we appreciate the time on a Sunday morning. How you doing, buddy?
Yeah, of course, guys. Thanks for having me. I'm doing pretty well. What about you guys?
We're doing well. Hopefully the Braves making that turn here. I just kind of laid out in the opening segment, Marlins, Phillies, Marlins, D-backs, Rockies, A's. This feels like a get-right stretch and a get-right moment for the Braves. Would you agree with that?
Right, I would. Yeah, 20-some games against teams that are currently under 500. I mean, I think that's kind of what they really needed. I mean, you look at them floating around 500, hovering under it for the first month and a half or so, but you look at that with a series in L.A., two against the Padres, one against, you know, the Brewers in Milwaukee. They've played some good teams, so I think this should be a chance for them to even out a little bit. Now, it doesn't always work out like that, especially if all your guys aren't hitting or – you know, guys don't pitch, but I think this should be a stretch in which they're going to be the more talented team for a while here, really, until they play San Francisco. You know, I'm thinking on June 20th, and even then, I mean, I think they, you know, I don't think the Giants have been great this year. So I think this is really a chance for the Braves to kind of string together some.
Speaking of hitting and pitching, if I were to ask you right now to rank your confidence level in the three departments, the lineup, the rotation, and the bullpen, which of the three do you trust the most right now, and which of the three do you have the least trust in?
Yeah, right now I would say at this very moment, the rotation one, and then, you know, I'm still going to go hitting two and bullpen 2B probably, just because I know bullpens can be volatile. It's hurt them a little bit losing Luke Jackson. They needed Tyler Matzek to be, you know, a little better. I'm not sure how much they can get through this stretch kind of without, and Spencer Strider's pitched really well. AJ Minter's been terrific, but, you know, the bullpen has been really good so far, but I still think the track record's hitting wise. That's why I put them both to, I think the track record's hitting wise, like Brian Snicker says, the back of the baseball card. I think that's going to play, you know, a little bit. And I think these guys have shown that they can kind of wake up at any moment. So I really don't think the hitting, I think the hitting with runners in scoring position has been dreadful, but I really don't think it's been in general as bad as maybe it may seem, just because when you've got the talent in the lineup, and that is really the thing that's irreplaceable. You kind of need that, and these guys have it.
Speaking of Spencer Strider, a lot of people really like this guy. What do you think the ceiling is for the mustache?
Yeah. To me, a really good starter if he can develop his, you know, third pitch, that changeup, you know, Reagan Bond. So I think, that's what I've heard, just that they view him as a long-term as a starter. Obviously, they're using him differently now, but you also really have kind of some of the comparisons to some of those late-inning relievers, you know, with the stuff he has, if he could do that through multiple innings or be a closer in the future. I personally think mindset-wise, like, you know, with his makeup and how smart he is, like you can tell just talking to him, and kind of the work ethic to develop a third pitch, you know, perhaps, and to keep developing that changeup, I think he can be a really good starter. And that's still where I, you know, think he is. I don't think you really have to, you know, make him into a reliever just yet. Now, you could, you know, the argument is there, like, if he's going to turn into something like Craig Kimbrell or Josh Hader, then it's not a bad thing to make him
sure
a reliever. But I think for now, like, I would agree with, you know, with them seeing him as a starter long term. I mean, I think he's got the stuff. I think he's got the makeup and the mindset and the mentality. Now, is he going to throw 100 in the fifth inning? You know, probably not. But I think there's some room for growth there, and some room where they can maybe, you know, start to stretch him out when they don't need him so much in a bullpen role. And I think that really speaks to him, the fact that he's been so good in the bullpen that they feel like they can't take him out.
For sure. No doubt about it. We're talking Braves with Justin Toscano of the AJC here on 92.9 The Game. So Ronald Acuna back in the lineup the last couple of nights. Assess what you've seen so far in his return.
Really good. I mean, the at-bats are back to his timing, certainly back. And I'm talking overall. I mean, in spring training, he looked great. He looked like Ronald Acuna during batting practice, during live BPs. But I think the timing has really gotten back to major league pitching, and his, you know, his at-bats are where they need to be. What's most impressive, I think, to me is he might be faster than he was before. I mean, you think of eight stolen bases in 14 games, hasn't been caught stealing once. Just his legs, to me, like, that's the thing that's changed games for a lineup that hasn't really been able to manufacture runs much without him. They struggled kind of for a spark without him at the top of the lineup, and now when, you know, you have a guy like that on base, it changes the way opposing pitchers and, you know, opposing catchers do things. It changes the way the infielders have to be. I mean, I think he's really changed games with his legs, whether it's, you know, stolen bases or advancing on ground outs or otherwise. I think, so I think he's been really good. They're keeping him off the turf there this weekend, so I don't, you know, he wasn't expected to play in right field, but yeah, he's been great so far. He looks like Ronald Acuna, and you know, OPS near 900. He should only get better too.
Justin, as Memorial Day approaches and we kind of really gauge where the Braves are, so far at this point here on May 22nd, what would you say the biggest positive has been so far, and then conversely, the biggest negative so far for this team?
Yeah, the biggest positive to me is that for the most part, you've gotten good starts from, like, the back, you know, three in the rotation. You know, Kyle Wright has had a breakout season. Ian Anderson has settled in. And then really, if you look at the five spot, whether it be, you know, Bryce Elder or now Tucker Davidson, I mean, those guys have pretty much given you, you know, a chance to win when they've gone out there. So for me, that's the biggest positive, is that I really wondered entering the season if not adding any impact starting pitching was going to burn them. And so far, it really hasn't. Like, the rotation hasn't been the issue. The biggest negative to me has to be the situational hitting, the hitting of runners in scoring position. These guys are just too good. You know, some of this should even out, and eventually we're probably, you know, like Matt Olson said, we're probably going to be able to clip a month or two where they're really good in that category. But for a team that had the highest average, you know, in OPS, I believe, last year with runners in scoring position, and I know they struggled, you know, in the first half, so anything can happen. But for a team that was that good in runners in scoring position last year, to not be hitting like that this year, I mean, has been a bit concerning with all the talent they have in the lineup. You know, all the strikeouts in those situations haven't been good. You know, who knows if that turns, but to me, that's been the biggest disappointment, is that, you know, a lineup that should theoretically pounce when given the opportunity hasn't really been able to do so.
You know, and we're talking to Justin Toscano, final one. I guess if you look at it from a positive standpoint, to be where they are record-wise, considering Matt Olson, Marcell Ozuna, Austin Riley, Ozzy Albies, Adam Duvall, Dansby Swanson, all six of those guys hitting well below 250. I mean, our best hitter right now is a guy coming off of surgery who's just been back in the lineup for two games to the last couple of nights. It's actually kind of remarkable that they're in the spot they are, considering two-thirds of the lineup has basically been MIA this year.
100%. Yeah, and I think that's the way to view it. Like, if you want to, you know, and that's not even spinning it too positively or stretching it too much. Like, that's the way I see it. You know, you had that rough string of starts with Charlie Morton. You've had the lineup the way it's been. The bullpen a couple games here and there hasn't looked good, and yet you're floating around 500. So I think that's the way to view it, is really the lineup has looked, what, like 20% as good as maybe you've expected it, 30% mm-hmm. so far. So I just think that will come around. I mean, if you look at their average exit velocity and things like that, up in the top 10 and was in the top 5 for a little bit. And then, yeah, some of those guys, I mean, there are signs they're breaking out. You know, obviously, they need more home runs of guys on base. That's indicative of, you know, needing guys on base, stringing stuff together, actually. But I really think that it's pretty positive that, you know, most of this lineup hasn't hit to its capability, and they're still pretty much around 500. And I know people are acting like the sky's, you know, falling, but I just think that it should be fine, you know, because teams like the D-backs and the Rockies, you know, and, you know, even the Phillies, their pitching isn't as good as the pitching that the Braves have faced to this point. So the Braves have about, you know, a few weeks to a month to really get things kind of sorted.
No doubt. Justin, great stuff as always. We appreciate the time, and thanks for stopping on today, bud.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me, guys.
You got it. Justin Toscano, Braves beat writer for the AJC, joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. So, Ian Anderson today for the Braves as they look to get three in a row. That would be beautiful. I don't care that it's against the Marlins. I'll take them any way I can get them. All right, coming up next, we have drama in the world of college football, and I'm all for it. And guess what? They're both kind of right. They're both kind of wrong. They're both kind of scumbags. And I think it's beautiful. The details next on The Nick Kale Show. All right, 10:41 here on a Sunday morning, the Nick Kale Show, Sports Radio 92.9, The Game, and the Odyssey app. We'll take Braves calls if you want to jump in at 404-741-0929. But, man, I got to get to the college football. Oh, is this story incredible? And I love every bit of it. So, Nick Saban making accusations, Jimbo Fisher coming out and saying, I've got skeletons on you, buddy, so be careful with what you say. Is very interesting, and it all centers around NIL, name, image, and likeness, and players being bought and being paid to go and play at Texas A&M, at Alabama, at Georgia, at Tennessee, at Auburn, at LSU, at Florida. And this is incredible because, to me, Saban against Jimbo Fisher, regardless of fact or fiction, regardless of pettiness, it is great for the media, it's great for talk shows, and it's great for the rematch this year. I'm all for the drama. But guys, make no mistake about it, college football coaches or politicians take what they say 24/7 with a major grain of salt, because they're all full of it. They're all a little corrupt. They're all a little crooked because the pressure is on them to stack recruiting classes, pile up the wins, make conference championships, play in meaningful bowl games, make the college football playoff, and maybe even win a national championship. If you go across the Power Five and those 65 programs, there are very few programs that are running a clean program. It doesn't exist. It didn't exist before NIL. It's not going to exist in the NIL era. So if that bothers you and you feel like the sport has lost its innocence, I got news for you. It was never innocent to begin with. College football is probably the dirtiest sport of all the sports, whether it's collegiately or professionally. The stuff, the backroom dealings, boosters, money men, middlemen, NIL, unjustified perks, cars, the whole bit. I mean, stop. How can a Division I Power 5 football player, and this was pre-NIL, who is spending X amount of hours a week preparing for football like he's a pro, and then whatever time he spends in the classroom, which I don't know that it's a whole heck of a lot, how can you afford an $80,000 Escalade at 19 years old? The math doesn't add up, all right? But here's the thing with Saban and Jimbo Fisher. Saban is coming off like such a baby. And look, the best of the best can whine and cry, and in many regards, they get away with it. Phil Jackson used to work the refs in the NBA. Michael Jordan would be a whiner. LeBron James would whine. The best do that. You can't hit Peyton Manning. You can't touch Tom Brady. There's different rules for different fools. And Nick Saban says that Texas A&M bought every player and questions whether the current NIL model is sustainable. Nick Saban goes on to say, quote, "I mean, we were second in recruiting last year. A&M was first. A&M bought every player on their team, made a deal for name, image, likeness. We didn't buy one player, all right? But I don't know if we're going to be able to sustain that in the future because more and more people are doing it. It's tough." Saban goes on to talk about the parity. And here's the thing, guys. There are two sports where parity has really never existed. College football and the NBA. It's always been about stars, elite programs, dynasties, super teams. Look at college football. It's always been about Alabama, Ohio State, Florida State, Miami, Texas, USC. Same thing in the NBA. Jordan's Bulls, Larry Bird's Celtics, Showtime Lakers, LeBron's group, Golden State, the Spurs. There's never been parity. And Nick Saban comes off like a baby. One, he lost the national championship to Kirby. Two, he lost to an assistant in the regular season last year for the first time in Jimbo Fisher, former assistant. We knew Saban was undefeated against previous employees on his staff. And oh, by the way, you get a rematch this year. Let's take a listen. Here is a little chunk of audio. Now, this is Jimbo Fisher coming out after the accusations made by Nick Saban. Take a listen.
First of all, I'll say it's a shame that we have to do this. It's really despicable. It's despicable that somebody can say things about somebody and an organization. More importantly, 17-year-old kids. You're taking shots at 17-year-old kids and their families. That they broke state laws. They're all money. We bought every player on this group. We never bought anybody. No rules were broken. Nothing was done wrong. It was all in the way we do things, the ethics in which we do things. And these families, it's despicable that a reputable head coach could come out and say this when he doesn't get his way or things don't go his way. The narcissist in him doesn't allow those things to happen. And it's ridiculous. But when he's not on top and the parity in college football he's been talking about, go talk to coaches who coach for him. You'll find out all the parity. Go dig into wherever he's been. You can find out anything. And it's a shame that you got to sit here and defend 17-year-old kids and families and Texas A&M because we do things right. We're always going to do things right. But we're always going to be here. Some people think they're God. Go dig into how God did his deal. You may find out about a guy that a lot of things you don't want to know. We built him up to be the czar of football. Go dig into his past or anybody that's ever coached with him. You can find out anything you want to find out, what he does and how he does it. And it's despicable. Listen, you coach with people like Bobby Bowden and learn how to do things. You coach with other people and learn how not to do things. There's a reason people don't go. I ain't went back and worked for him.
Have you had any contact with Nick since?
No. Oh, he's called.
You just didn't take the call?
Not going to. We're done.
And
he shows you who he is.
And then I just wanted to.
He's the greatest ever, huh?
And then I just wanted
when
to.
You got all the advantages? Huh? It's easy. You can call me anything you want to call me. You ain't calling me a cheat. I don't cheat and I don't lie. So I learned that when I was a kid. If you did, the old man slapped you side of the head. Maybe somebody should have slapped him. It's disgusting to what we're into right now, especially by the people who are throwing the darts, who have no glass in their house. Career. It's despicable for what it does for the sport. And the operations, the way things were done the other way, when the parity was there, like we said, never has been parity. Certain people never followed the rules anyway.
Jimbo Fisher just basically took a grenade, pulled the clip, and dropped it in Nick Saban's underwear while Nick Saban was wearing those underwear. My God, what a nuclear bomb that was. I can't recall two coaches at the highest of levels, Nick Saban, arguably the greatest of all time, Jimbo Fisher, top 10 coach in the sport today, maybe top five, certainly paid that way. I can't remember the personal sniping and attacking of coaches. Like you hear it maybe after a game at a post-game press conference where, you know, one guy says one thing and then the other guy goes off over the way they, you know, maybe ran up the score late in the game or didn't, you know, shake hands or it was classless. But, I mean, he just went full blast on Saban after Saban basically initiated it, saying A&M cheats. They bought all their players, every single one of them, NIL. And the reality, NIL is a very loose umbrella, right? Like, it's basically, all right, athletes can sign deals for their name, their image and likeness, and be compensated. There doesn't seem to be a whole ton of structure to it. So I don't know if A&M, quote, cheated, or if they just played by the rules and whatever those rules are for NIL and did compensate all these guys and made it more appealing to go to College Station than Tuscaloosa or Athens or Death Valley or wherever. Here's Nick Saban talking about Texas A&M and Jimbo Fisher.
You know, I should have never really singled anybody out. You know, that was a mistake, and I really apologize for that part of it. I'm not against name, image, and likeness. I think it's a great thing for players. You know, our players made a lot of money last year in name, image, and likeness. But, you know, I told our players to, you know, get an agent, get representation, you know, make what you can make. Players have always been able to work, and I think that's a good thing. I reached out to them, never got a response, but I feel bad about it. But I'm not changing my philosophy. I look at the betterment of college football, what is good for the game. And sometimes those things are not what's best for Alabama. But I've been doing this for a long time, and, you know, my whole focus has always been, you know, how can we help players be successful? And I really wasn't saying that anybody did anything illegal in using name, image, and likeness. I didn't say that. That was something that was assumed by what I said, which is not really what I meant, nor was it what I said. So there's nothing illegal about doing this. It's the system that allows right. you to do it, and that's the issue that I have. Well, I don't think NIL in its original form or what people wanted it to be is really an issue at all. I think collectives are the issue. And I think one of the solutions would be if, you know, if you have people that are representatives of your school that give money to a collective and then the collective turns around and gives it to players on the team. Money. I'm not saying opportunities to represent. I'm saying money. Then that collective should become a representative of the institution, and they should not be able to give money to a player just like an alumnus can't give money to a player.
There's Nick Saban talking about the whole NIL situation and his regrets for singling out Jimbo Fisher. I mean, he did single him out. I mean, you bought every one of your players, and then Jimbo comes back and amplifies it and throws gasoline on it. And if you're wondering when these two programs will play, it'll be Saturday, October the 8th. So you're looking about week 7 of the college football season. Texas A&M goes to Tuscaloosa to play Alabama this year after beating them at Kyle Field last year. That will be the most anticipated game on the schedule in the SEC this year. And I guarantee you that'll be the CBS 330 game. And that maybe they'll even flex it into primetime for 8 o'clock. And there'll be cameras everywhere. And I can't wait to see how that game plays out And if, in fact, they shake hands when they run towards the 50-yard line surrounded by a bunch of state troopers, you're going to have to add some extra police force between those two, because Jimbo might just cold cock him right in the face. I mean, this is going to be juicy beyond belief, and I'm all for it. But, like, the thing is, and you heard Saban there, and they can all sit there and say, yeah, we're all for the players being paid and, you know, NIL and players used to be able to work. And, yeah, now go get an agent and make what you can. But make no mistake about it. Behind closed doors, these guys do not like it because it takes away their power. Think about this. Whether you're Nick Saban, Kirby Smart, or any head coach for a public institution, you're usually the highest paid employee in the state of Georgia, in the state of Alabama, in the state of Texas. So you have unbelievable power. And these college football coaches are like authoritarian dictators. They run everything. And they lose a big chunk of power now that the players have been empowered through NIL. And while I can go here, I can go play for Jimbo Fisher and I get an NIL deal for $1 million from X, Y, or Z, as opposed to, you know, just, hey, I was going to go to play for Nick Saban in Alabama because they've got 7 national championships in the last 15 years. And like, now there's more incentive to play elsewhere beyond the stage, the amount of draft picks they have produced, and the championships. And these coaches, whether it's Saban or Lane Kiffin or any of these guys, they don't like it. Say what they want publicly. They do not like it because they have lost some of the control of the sport. And when you coach and you make $8 million a year, you have power and you have control. Until the 18-year-old is now making more than some of your assistants. Uh-huh. All right, so here's the question for you guys. I'd like to come back and get some calls if you guys want to jump in at 404-741-0929. Does this stuff bother you as a fan of college football? Very simple question. The era of college football, NIL, that we are in, Saban versus Jimbo, the sniping, the fighting, does this type of stuff bother you as a fan of the sport? 404-741-0929. We're back after this.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.